issues of
property.
And what about the economy?
What is ownership?
Is this
appropriate?
Goods.
Properties.
Commodification.
Ownership. Property.
Appropriate.
Welcome to our new episode of Appropriate. Today's episode is about a workshop called From Contested Ownership to Involuntary Returns, Interdisciplinary Perspectives on the Post-Colonial Fight for Restitution and Reparation that took place from October 24th to 25th in Erfurt. The episode has two parts. In the first part, there's an interview with the two organizers, Silva Niedermeyer and Sarah Rausch, which is in German. In the second part, you can listen to an interview with the SFB Mercato Fellow Flower Manasse, which was conducted by Ari Hönning from the University of Erfurt.
Hallo, ich bin Charlotte Domberg. Heute berichten wir zum Workshop From Contested Ownership to Involuntary Returns, Interdisciplinary Perspectives on the Postcolonial Fight for Restitution and Reparation, der vom Sonderforschungsbereich in Kooperation mit der DFG-Forschungsgruppe Freiwilligkeit organisiert wurde. Ich sitze hier mit den beiden OrganisatorInnen, Silva Niedermeyer von der Universität Erfurt, er ist Teilprojektleiter der DFG-Forschungsgruppe Freiwilligkeit, und mit Sarah Rausch von der Friedrich-Schiller-Universität Jena. Sie ist an der wissenschaftlichen Koordinationsstelle Koloniales Erbe in Thüringen. Hallo, Sie haben diesen Workshop organisiert. Worüber geht denn der Workshop und was ist sein Ziel?
Die Idee ist, zum einen historische Perspektive aufzuzeigen. Also die Restitutionsdebatte ist ja in aller Munde, dass es um die Frage danach geht, wie halt koloniale Objekte aus den europäischen Sammlungen halt aufgearbeitet werden, ne? Wie halt die Geschichten rekonstruiert werden, dieser Objekte, wie die überhaupt nach Europa gekommen sind. Es geht natürlich auch um die Human Remains, also die menschlichen Überreste. Und ein Anliegen des Workshops ist, hier vor allem eine historische Perspektive aufzuzeigen, um eben deutlich zu machen, das ist nicht nur eine Debatte, die jetzt gerade aktuell stattfindet, sondern es gibt eine Vorgeschichte dazu. Und vor allem das halt auch als internationale Debatte aufzuzeigen und auch deutlich zu machen, dass es halt vor allen Dingen durch Engagement von entsprechenden Initiativen überhaupt entstanden, dass da ein Druck aufgebaut wurde, dass es Gesetzgebungsinitiativen gegeben hat. Und genau mit dieser Perspektive möchten wir dann auch in die Gegenwart schauen und da nicht nur die Sammlungen in den Blick nehmen, wo jetzt so Objekte und Human Remains aus den deutschen Kolonialgebieten in Beständen sind, sondern auch zu zeigen, dass es halt auch aus vielen unterschiedlichen Regionen da eben Objekte, Human Remains, Ancestral Remains in die Sammlungen gekommen sind. Und entsprechend haben wir halt Leute eingeladen und angefragt, da unterschiedliche Perspektiven zu geben. Genau. Mhm.
Ja, also ich könnte noch ergänzen, dass wir das ja auch aus einem Forschungskontext tun, und zwar aus dem Kontext der Freiwilligkeit, die dann der einen Forschungsgruppe im Vordergrund steht und der anderen, das ist der SFB, in dem die Eigentumsfragen im Vordergrund stehen. Und wir haben versucht, genau diese Debatten über Repatriierung, Restitution, insbesondere in diesen Aspekten anzuschauen. Also was bedeutet Freiwilligkeit und Eigentum in diesem Kontext? Und wenn man das jetzt zuspitzt, könnte man sagen, Freiwilligkeit ist insofern zentral für die Repatriierung und Restitutionsforderungen, weil Museen in der Regel bis heute Eigentumsrechte besitzen und deswegen nicht in der Pflicht sind, rückzuführen. Und deswegen ist Freiwilligkeit und die moralisch-ethische Position gegenüber Forderungen ganz zentral, bedeutet aber auch, dass Museen und Institutionen, die Human Remains oder kulturelle Objekte besitzen, bis heute entscheiden können und sagen können, ja, wir geben zurück oder nein, aus diesen Gründen behalten wir diese Objekte. Und das, wir sagen dazu, anhaltende Machtungleichheit in diesen Prozessen von Restitution und Repatriierung, das interessiert uns und darüber wollen wir mit dem Publikum und mit den Gästen sprechen.
Ja, Sie hatten ja schon erwähnt, das ist eine Kooperationsveranstaltung zwischen der DFG-Forschungsgruppe Freiwilligkeit und dem Sonderforschungsbereich Strukturwandel des Eigentums ist. Haben wir jetzt auch gerade schon viel zum Thema Freiwilligkeit gesagt. Was sind denn, beim SFB ist ja das große Querschnittsthema das Eigentum. Wo sehen Sie denn Eigentumsbezüge in dem Workshop? Und genau.
Ja, die Eigentumsfrage ist ja tatsächlich eine problematische, weil in dieser gesamten Restitutions- oder Repatriierungsdebatte halt immer die Frage danach gestellt wird, oder die Museen, vor allem die europäischen Museen, das ja als ihr legitim erworbenes Eigentum bezeichnen und aus der Perspektive heraus halt es schwierig ist, Forderungen zu stellen oder auch die Nachweisbarkeit über, wie sind denn überhaupt diese Objekte in den Besitz gekommen, wie sind sie erworben, kann man das rekonstruieren? Und da wird dann halt ja oft auch auf Perspektiven verwiesen, dass halt die Zeit schon zu lange verstrichen ist und dass es teilweise nicht richtig zu rekonstruieren ist. Und dann also machen halt Museen für sich das oft, also behaupten für sich, dass das halt sozusagen, sie über die Eigentumsrechte verfügen. Oft in verschiedenen anderen Ländern, europäischen Ländern, ist es auch der Fall, dass ja Museumsbestände halt sozusagen zum Kulturerbe eines Landes gehören und damit auch Besitz des Staates sind. Das macht es halt schwierig, darauf entsprechend zu reagieren. Weswegen ja auch die Frage im Raum steht, inwiefern es halt ein Repatriierungs- oder Restitutionsgesetz braucht, um halt diese Frage nach Eigentum nochmal anders zu stellen und es eben aus diesem, ja, aus dem Freiwilligkeitskontext möglicherweise auch rauszulösen.
Ja, ich würde noch ergänzen, dass Eigentum ja auch kulturell kodiert ist, könnte man sagen, ne? Also wenn wir heute über Eigentum sprechen, dann, also gerade in Deutschland, dann ist es ein sehr legalistisches Verständnis von Eigentum. Das hat damit zu tun, dass es bestimmte Regelungen gibt und dass das Recht sagt, wenn diese Objekte so und so lange in einer Institution sind und wenn es bestimmte Dokumentationen für den Erwerb oder für einfach nur für die Aufbewahrung seit mehreren Jahrzehnten gibt, dann ist das rechtsmäßiges Eigentum. Solche legalistischen Vorstellungen von Eigentum sind ja sehr verbreitet und sehr gebräuchlich. Und man könnte aber natürlich fragen, was bedeutet Eigentum im Kontext, also in diesem Unrechtskontext des Kolonialismus? Was hat es damals bedeutet, dass Menschen Dinge hergegeben haben, dass sie sie verkauft haben, dass sie ihnen auch als Raub in Form des Raubes entwendet wurden. Und man könnte dann fragen, ob Eigentum, wie wir es bis heute verstehen, eigentlich eine schwierige Kategorie ist und ob man Eigentum dann möglicherweise erweitern müsste, den Begriff erweitern müssen, das Verständnis erweitern müsste, um eben ja, die Gesellschaften, denen diese Dinge weggenommen wurden oder aus denen diese Dinge stammen, deren Konzepte auch in einzubeziehen und auch diese historische Dimension einzubeziehen.
Schön. Genau, später im Podcast gibt es ja noch ein Interview mit Flower Manasse vom National Museum and House of Culture in Dar es Salaam. Welche Perspektive auf das Thema erhoffen Sie sich denn von ihr spezifisch?
Also ich denke, dass das gerade also eine wunderbare Gelegenheit ist, dass sie ja gerade dieses Fellowship in Erfurt hat. Gerade wenn es eben um diese Perspektivverschiebungen geht, was Eigentum eigentlich bedeutet. Also wo wir vielleicht auch unsere eigenen Eigentumsverständnisse auch reflektieren können vor dem Hintergrund. Also wir sind ja selbst jetzt als die Organisatorinnen eingebettet in dieses westliche Verständnis davon. Und deswegen ist halt gerade für uns das Wertvolle und Besondere an dem Workshop, eben diesen Perspektivwechsel oder die Erweiterung auch irgendwie zu ermöglichen, halt mit Menschen in Kontakt zu kommen, irgendwie eine andere Perspektive auf, was bedeutet überhaupt dann, also cultural belonging, also kulturelle Objekte, die halt in den Museen ja zu Objekten gemacht werden, die beforschbar geworden sind, immer noch sind. Das gilt genauso für die Human Remains. Und vor diesem Hintergrund ist natürlich auch die Frage zu stellen, was bedeutet Eigentum, also auch von einem privatrechtlichen Verständnis, ne? Wer Eigentum an diesen Gegenständen hat, was bedeutet das auch für Community? Was kann man über eine Rückgabe von diesen Objekten auch wieder herstellen, sozusagen, ne? Was bedeutet das dann auch für die jeweiligen Herkunftsgemeinschaften? Und das sind natürlich Perspektiven, die Flower Manasse da sicherlich einbringen kann, also gerade auch aufgrund ihrer kuratorischen Arbeit und der Erfahrungen, die sie auch im Dialog, im Austausch bisher gemacht hat. Also sie war ja schon häufiger auch in Deutschland an Museumsprojekten beteiligt gewesen und auch jetzt aktuell ja wieder. Und das, denke ich, wird sehr bereichernd auch für den Austausch sein.
Hello. Today I have Slavo Manasu with me. So the one of the curators of the National Tanzanian Museum, as far as I understood. And today I just wanted to interview her about her work and what she's doing at the moment here in Erfurt at our own university. Would you like anything to add, what I've forgotten?
Nothing really. I feel like most of these questions, they have a connection in some way.
Okay. So. I'm glad that they do. Yeah. So what motivated you to pursue a career in curation?
I can't say there is a motivation really, but I studied history and archaeology, and at that time I applied for the job at the museum. At the beginning I didn't like it that much, but in the process, due to my supervisors and the people whom I found there, they started to show me a way through the museum. So I feel like when you go to the museum as a beginner, you find it so boring sometimes. But when you stay with some people and they show you around and you start to find your interest within the field, that's how you find the excitement. So that's how my journey started.
Okay. But I think good supervisors are a lot worth.
Yes. Yeah. The people who are there, they were really welcoming. Unfortunately, the director has retired, but he was really welcoming. He was open to perspectives, like new perspectives, because I came to the museum soon after I graduated from the university. So I was more critical at that time, like while the museum things are really not being changed, why is it like a laboratory where you are not supposed to touch stuff? So you know, when you're new to the museum, you break all the rules sometimes, but the people who were there at that time, they were really open to all these nuances at that time, I felt like.
Okay. Yeah, I just know every time when I just go with my friends to a museum and I just want to show them something in the artwork, it just beeps because your finger is too near to the actual painting. Yeah. So I can understand it. So what are your specific responsibility in your like daily job? What are you actually doing at the museum?
Yeah, so at the museum, as I joined the museum, I started as a beginner, as a curator, assistant curator. And the most of the jobs that I started to do were mainly the curation, conservation, assisting with research sometimes of the collection within the museum database, and also helping the visitors when they need some information, and also sometimes doing and helping with the tour guides. But now I'm the researcher in the museum. That means I do most of the research work. And within the curatorial works, there are people also who are new, who are taking the positions. So I'm now working as the researcher. And this is what makes now my position to be more mobile, like traveling for research purposes, joining conference, but also looking out for the museum interest, our interest as the National Museum of Tanzania, throughout my trips, what I'm doing, what I'm researching, what I'm writing. Yeah, so this is what really I'm kind of doing now.
Okay, so you're kind of a future scout for the museum. What could be possibly the next projects to work on?
I didn't get the question.
Oh, no, it was just more of a remark.
Okay.
Like if you're also like contributing in your way of traveling to the future of the museum.
Yeah, you know, like when I'm here, I learn a lot about the debate that I'm going. But also connecting, not everyone knows that there is so-called Tanzania as the former German colony. So sometimes you're trying to share what you have about your museum, like what I'm doing here. And now people really need to understand, okay, there is the National Museum of Tanzania. There is this in that museum. So it's a way also of communicating what we are doing through the research that we are also working on.
Okay. So are there any projects you're particularly proud of that you did?
Yeah, not really proud of, but I feel like as the National Museum, there is a lot of projects, but I feel like each project has a way of learning. So to me, I'm not seen like, I can't say like proud of, because at the end you get also the comments, the feedback, and you feel like I could have done more. But to me, I feel like there are projects which are really stretching me out as an individual, but also as the museum. And this is the project about the exhibition, which is called The Histories of Tanzania, where the National Museum of Tanzania has collaborated with the Ethnological Museum in Berlin and the Humboldt Forum, and the exhibition is going to be open in November. Yeah, this year. So this is a way that I can say, I can't say like I'm proud, but I feel like we stretched ourselves out and we came now to work on the complicated history. And this is like a new beginning for our museum also to start looking on the collections which are not in our museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as far as I understood, your museum is also something like a community hub, or is more, or tries to be. So do you have any other like places in your city where you're living that which comes close to that place or to that premise of learning and growing and rooting out?
Okay, the museum, it's not a community museum. I'm working under the National Museum of Tanzania, which is a big institution, and the museum itself was conceptualized during the British colonial time. But the concept of community came in during the transformation of the museum, because museum itself is a colonial institution that we adopt after independence. And after independence, due to the policies of the colonial time, people, the locals, were not really allowed to go to the museum.
Okay.
And after independence, now you're supposed to bring and break all these colonial legacies to bring the people to the museum, because before then, the museum appeared like a place for the tourist, and the place for the white, the place for those who are elite. So you see most of the people who were coming to the museum, either they were researchers or people with specific need. But now we wanted for people really just out of leisure to come to the museum. How are we going to break all the wall that existed? So this is how the concept of community came in. And it was after the research that was done in 2000 years back then, before I joined the museum. And they realized the museum was really not moving, and the number of the locals who were coming to the museum was really low. So they started the programs to promote the communities by using the people within the communities to do the programs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how the museum now started to work with the communities.
How are you fostering like that the communities you're working on, that they actually show an interest with you working in the museum? And how are you helping when you just got the communities on to get even more people engaged?
Oh, first of all, I feel like it's all about the boundary. People have this mental boundary. Like, as I said, where you go to the museum where you are not allowed to touch anything. And this comes to your mental thinking that maybe even your views about the exhibition will not be welcomed, because there is already the physical demarcations. But when you are bringing the concept of museum with community, you're trying to break these boundaries which are already there, which are also contributing to the mental boundaries. And I'm not saying that if you come to the National Museum, you will touch and play with everything, but at least there is a way to communicate what we have in a way that it doesn't block your mindset and feel like your ideas are not welcomed. So if at the end we come to realize most of the museums, they operate within the academic scope, where the topics we are trying to catch and communicate to communities, we are using the academic approaches, but the same topic, if you bring it to the communities, they have their own approach. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to accommodate the views of the public, though they are not academic, into the museum? Okay. Exhibitions. Okay. So this is how we welcome them. When they see their views are welcome. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, there was a program that existed, and this program was about environment management on the West, how to control the public West. And if you look at this topic and you use the academic approach, it will be really complicated with a lot of bylaws, regulation. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this, this will happen, and wherever. But within the museum, when we welcomed the communities, there was a group of artists, there was a group of students who were creative in making, using the West to recycle and do something else. And also there is a group of entrepreneurs who also use West to make money. So within the community, they have their own way of dealing with the problem, that when you bring the academic approach to it, it will be a different output. So this program was about to show more how the community could tackle their own problems without the museum imposing the solutions. So sometimes the museum have this kind of the program so that the community could really find the problem. Like, they know the problem, but you raise the awareness, there is this problem and what will be the solution. And we are not giving them the solution, they are giving the solution themselves. And that way you do not enforce anything, it's for them now to enforce that.
I mean, that sounds like a complicated task, but also like really engaging. So I'm like kind of hyped that that's actually happening, and maybe you can actually change the mind of the people, of the local people, that they're getting more engaged. Do you have like any statistics out of the head is maybe a bit much, but are you seeing like that they're actually changing their minds and are getting more engaged, or is it like a really slow process over generations?
It depends how you are measuring the change.
Okay.
And when I say about the program, that doesn't mean I am the one who is doing it. We have a lot of people now the museum has employed, and also volunteers. And these are the people who are also coming from the community. And the aspect is, how do you introduce the idea so that it is incubated within the space? Because within that program, one of the tangible output was to create the dusty bins, which I know and I remember until now, they're still there. So whether they don't use it, but they're still there. And at the end, how do people communicated and started talking about the topic during that time? Because maybe they were not even speaking about it, and now they were speaking about it. So whether they are doing it or not, but at least they are aware. So this is, again, a slow process. I feel like you can't change people abruptly.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, it's a process, but also it's a way now to bring them to the museum, even if they don't change. But now they know that the museum could speak about their problems. It's the place where they can come, enjoy, contribute, and also talk about what they find relevant within their space.
When you're not running like this kind of project, as far as I understood, your work is like contributing to restitution and returning artifacts that were once in Tanzanian possession and then got essentially robbed from the colonial powers, Germany and Britain. And like, what are particular difficulties that you're actually now like or still facing in your endeavors?
As I said, I'm now working with the museum as a researcher, so I'm really on the research stage. But if you look at the topic of restitution, it comes with levels.
Okay.
There is the management of the museum, which is also dealing with the same topic. And there is the museum experts like myself who are dealing on the research side. And there is the ministry responsible foreign ministry and the Ministry of Tourism, which are also dealing in at the state level. So I won't speak much about the management to the state level because this is another body with other people. But on the research side, I feel like at the beginning it was complicated to really understand what is on the ground, because coming to Germany, a lot of the museums, they have these materials or cultural materials which have originated from colonial period. And complicated part is most of the population, particularly the youth, they are not aware of such history. And again, the other problem was most of the museum were not dealing with this kind of the materials. They were not engaging with them. And if engaging with them, some were also using them for the exhibitions. They were not giving them the proper interpretation. So this was a problem or complexity that I found at the beginning. But now the debate has started and people are starting to get to see what's really happening on the ground, and the museum authority over interpretation of other people's culture is coming on the discussion, and this is really interesting. And again, I feel like the concept of communities of origin is coming now to Europe, which is now promoting most of the provenance research between European museums and the former states which were formerly colonized.
So I mean, if you're doing your research project, I think you're getting international funding, or are you getting more national funding, or actually more European funding, or no funding at all because still nobody is interested? So how are the stakes there?
With the research, it depends with the objective and whose goal are you fulfilling. So, for instance, the project that we are doing with the Ethnological Museum in Berlin and the Humboldt Forum, that means the exhibition is going to be displayed in Berlin. That means the National Museum of Tanzania cannot fund such exhibition. That means it's the German government. And again, if I'm coming and working on the collection for the museum in Europe, I'm not expecting the National Museum of Tanzania to have funding for that kind of collection, which is not on our own museum. So it all comes with the objective of the project and at the end, who is the beneficiaries. And I feel like most at this time now, because no restitution has yet done, maybe once we restitute the material to Tanzania, now I'll see the government of Tanzania, how they are funding the exhibition for these specific collections.
Okay. So how you mentioned that it was really complex at the start, like to actually know what's where, what's there, what's not there, what was missing or what got destroyed. What was your approach to detangle this complexity? Did you like had a checklist of this object is missing this, and we need to get this back in that order? Or was it more like we have to find something?
Yeah, the good part is I was not alone, and I came to realize dialogue, they are really helpful.
Okay.
And dialogue not only with one person, with different people, different museum, different state also. So having lots and lots of dialogue, workshop, conference, now you come to find the pieces connecting together. But if you're only dealing with one museum, one person, it's really complicated because sometimes they also have their own limitations. So, but you go to other state, they have some pieces of information. So I feel like most of the conferences, workshops, dialogue, also coffee meetings, and also interviews like this, they really help. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's nice to know to contribute at least something to the international world. You also mentioned that when restitution, or that your restitution is like is based on different levels, and that the management of the museum, like the high management and the government, is like an entire different field. But can you still like talk a bit how they are engaging, or what are the difficulties there?
With the management?
Getting the interests of the museum to the state and to community to the state that you're like maybe need money now or more support, like publicity or something like that.
We all know, like, all governments are bureaucratic, right? So it's a process. You can't move as fast as you want within the government system. It's the system that determines the movement. But I feel like for Tanzania, the government is committed, and now the topic is really, really has spread to many people, including the president. And this was during the German president visit to Tanzania, and multiple ministerial visitation and exchange between Tanzania and Germany. So in that situation, that means the government is aware of the situation, the government is aware of the problems, and the government is also planning on how to go about the whole thing, because as you mentioned, there will be the necessity to have the funding from the Tanzanian side. So this is also very important.
Okay. But is the government, or as far as you can tell maybe from the outside, more like dedicated to the intercultural, dialogue, or are they actually also interested in let's decolonize our institutions and emancipate us from our past?
Yeah, the second part is really interesting, because this is what Tanzania has been doing after independence.
Okay.
So after independence, it was all about defining who we are out of colonialism, whether it's British or German colonial rule. And this is where now the museum was nationalized to be for the museum for people, for development, and for helping with the government policies. And now we are coming again to the colonial history, where the museum is supposed now to bridge the gap of the moment of taking of all these colonial loots and communicate the same information to the community. Because if you're now going to tell the communities in Tanzania there is this much amount of collections in Germany, no one knows about that. So I feel like the museum is like a central point for communication of all these national agendas and ideas that are supposed to go to the communities. And also the museum is supposed to communicate to the government, and also the museum is supposed to collaborate with the European or German institution on the same topic. So all this needs time, needs people, needs resources, and it's a process again.
Just want to say, do you have any things that maybe just foster the optimism? Because at least for me, it's like one friend of me when I started my bachelor's, and he said, be careful, studying is like a marathon, it's not a sprint. So are you feeling the same, or do you have sometimes like really bad days where you're like angry at something, or where you just said, because everything is so difficult, that you just still continue working? Like, what gives you essentially hope?
Yeah. As a human, really, emotions are really there. At the beginning, when I came and started dealing with the topic, I was really moody. I didn't like what I was hearing. I didn't like what... it was like very terrible. It was really traumatic. I needed to take some time off the topic at the beginning, because I came to realize I'm not helping. It's affecting me. Because when you come and go to the depot of some of the museums, and you find the collections which are there, these collections, they communicate a lot. And at the same time, there is groups and groups of activists and families who are demanding about their ancestral remains. While the remains that are not yet returned, the people are still talking. You find the things that they owned, these people, are closed somewhere. And the museum people, they look like it's not that much important or big topic. So at the beginning, it was really frustration. I got a lot of frustration.
I can imagine. I mean, I sometimes feel the same. Or maybe I'm now where you were in the beginning as a really young person starting in that field. It's like, yeah, why are you giving it back? It could be so easy.
Yeah, I understand that. I used to be like that, and I become so emotional, very angry, yeah, very reactive sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And confrontational. Yeah, so I've been there.
Okay. but it's good to know that it's maybe not necessarily getting better, but you're getting used to the flow of emotions and you're finding...
Yeah, you're maybe getting through. But as you said, at the beginning, I didn't know a lot of things. And now you go to one space and it looks like they're frustrating you. They're frustrating the movement. They're frustrating the work and nothing is coming out of it. And you feel like you're doing nothing. And as more I communicate with people, I came to realize, okay, now this is a process. How should I manage to go with the process? Because I might also lose myself in the process. So I feel like this is how now you start to manage your emotion. It doesn't mean your emotions won't come up. Like some people will try to trigger your emotions, but now you know more than what someone is doing to make you go off your character. So I feel like it's a growth within the traumatic work that we are doing. So, yeah.
So was this realization also a process, or did you just had a click moment and you understood, oh, this is what's happening?
No, I started to realize whenever I go back home, I become sad. And I started to feel like museums are not good. Because I started even to hate the museums. And now I'm working at the museum, and now I'm starting to hate the museums. And when you hate the museum, that means you don't want to go to job, right? And you feel like, okay, now this is not helping, because there is, if I hate the museum, I don't want to work, but there are communities who are really important. And now it's not about what I feel, what I've seen, what I've heard. It's about the people who might not have this information. And how am I going to communicate now what I'm feeling, what I've seen to the community without caring maybe the National Museum of Tanzania, what they think? So this is now again where I came with all this community concept, because I felt like, yeah, it's beyond me, it's beyond the state, it's also about the people.
I mean, that sounds really like something bigger, and also like really, I mean, awesome that you are getting that kind of connection, or that you found it sometimes, or that mindset.
Yeah, I don't know how to say, but I feel like if you look in everything, community is the major aspect of any nation. Even the people in the politics, they won't be there without the people. Even the museums, why are you having exhibition if it's not for the people? So I feel like this is the central subject that we're supposed to focus on. And when you try to find who is the government, like the question, who is the government? Is there a person called the government? All those people, if you try to separate them, they are going back to the communities where they came from. They are representative of the people.
Cool.
So if you have that mindset, that also for me in the museum, I represent the people from the region that I come from, whose collections they came from, like multiple collections in the museum. If these collections, imagine they turn out to be people, how many communities you will have in the museum, like the real people. And if you think like that, are you going to handle them like careless, or not thinking of them as with spirit in them? So this is a different case, I think.
True. But also, did you had, and in the past, did you had any difficulties between communicating between different communities that could have had different interests. For example, community A just wants to this happen, and community B wants to do another thing, and they collide somehow.
Uh-huh. This is really interesting. To some parts, not to Tanzania, this is possible. It's because of the policy that Tanzania adopted after independence.
Okay.
The policy of Jamaa, where this policy of Jamaa, it creates that we belong together kind of concept. So if you come to Tanzania, there is a lot of communities, more than 125 languages, but we all speak Kiswahili. And if you're from the northern or southern, there is a way, because we are using the same language, we feel we belong together. And also due to intermarriage, where people, they have married one another, again, this belongs another community. So it's really difficult to find the confrontation between the regions or the group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But rather, people, they are looking at things according to the priority. How does this benefit where we are in terms of the region? And if it comes like that within the Dar es Salaam region, that means there is also a government there, local government and the central government. And the museum is playing the central part to communicate with either the government and the people. So I feel like the museum is kind of institution that helps to connect now these people with important government institution also, and communicate their problems sometimes, but also helping the people to remember who they are. Because when they come to the museum, we exhibit some of their culture. And if you come to the museum, which is in Dar es Salaam, and you are coming maybe not from Dar, you came from the interior, the other part out of Dar es Salaam, and you come, you find a cultural material from your community in the museum, you feel the connection. So there is a way you connect now with the area, with the space, with the people, feeling like even the curator, she kept what she's keeping because she knows the culture. And if she doesn't know, then that's another problem. Yeah.
So essentially doing exhibitions for people and not about people.
And not about people or what you think.
Yeah. So, as maybe like, because the time goes on, do you think, or do you have anything to say what, like, other museums in the West or in the global North could learn from your institutions or your like ways of thinking or trying to figure things out, or essentially also like confronting Western institutions with their colonial past?
Yeah, I feel like the museum culture should not be inherited. What I've seen from the National Museum of Tanzania, there is this culture, the culture of the institution. Some institutions, they inherit, where people retire but the institution never change. It's the same. But what I've seen at the National Museum, now and then there is a change of culture, opening to change and not try to own the institution. Because once you find and own the institution, you feel like it's your home, nothing should be changed. You don't want to change the exhibition, you don't want to do nothing because you feel threatened. That's really problematic. And I've seen this to most of the people in the West, where they are not open to the debate because they feel like the collections, was once they change, it will threaten their space, their job, their what they have learned for so long. So we should allow the change, and let's see how and where the change will take us.
So are you, or what projects are you looking forward to do next if you return to Tanzania or even here in Germany, like in the future?
It's more on the provenance.
Okay.
And I would love to work on the objects that will be returned to the communities. And if restitutions happen. So that will be, and it is my interest.
Okay. Is it like, is it already inside, or is it still a process and a long way to go?
It's a process. As I said, there is all this management, state contracts and everything. But as a researcher, you just have hope.
Okay.
That let's work on this. One day they will be returned. Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything else that I didn't ask you or didn't came up what you still want to like let people know, like as a final message?
Not really.
So do you have like any social media that people can follow you, or a website or something else?
I have a LinkedIn account. Name is Flower Manasseh, and yeah, they can find me there.
Okay. Then Thank you for the invitation, and I think that's it for now.
Thank you so much, Ari.
Appropriate.
Diese Podcast-Reihe entsteht im Rahmen des Sonderforschungsbereichs Transregio 294, Strukturwandel des Eigentums, und wird gefördert durch die Deutsche Forschungsgemeinschaft DFG unter der Fördernummer SFB-TRR 294-1 -424638267.